details.
Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 20th. All right, just getting right to the action without going through holidays and birthdays, just because Catman sometimes prints them in the wrong color and his printer does not have that color. It's a big blank spot. So we're going to get quickly to the plug. The Pain Clinic brought to you by Salvatore Holdback and Pizzeria Palmer's Food Service and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, that's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. Find them on Facebook as well as flowercityfear.com. And they're looking for everybody, including skaters and referees. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Let me introduce the cast and crew with us today. We've started off with, in the top right square on the Hollywood Squares, is the Artiste. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Artiste?
Good morning. I'm just going to make it up and say that it's National Garlic Bread Day.
Okay.
Because I doubt that's already a thing. So June 20th, let's go.
All right. And just below him in the squares of fame is Furby. What's up, Furbs?
Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today?
It is another beautiful Saturday morning, hopefully. And DC Dan Cole from North Carolina in his Brody Lee shirt. I still have not gotten mine yet, but I'm going to. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, and not to upset the Artiste, but National Garlic Bread Day is actually April the 6th.
Okay, well, you can never have too many National Garlic Bread Days. There should be at least one a month. Here.
Yeah, well, now that we're in the phase three here up here in Rochester, we probably could go get some garlic bread if we wanted to. Maybe we should plan that, have a night out and get together, because, you know, it's like I haven't seen you guys in forever, except for the little squares every Saturday morning. But, and I know DC, it's a little bit of a drive. I understand that. But
you know what, Cash? You pick a day and I will make the drive.
Well, I know you're coming soon, so we're going to see you in like a couple weeks, which is pretty cool. But hey, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. A lot of things going on this past week. A lot of things that I want to talk about. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Backlash pay-per-view last weekend. It was a big question mark, just because we know Paul Heyman got fired the week before, and we kind of, I mean, at least with all the Raw matches we had, you know, there was going to be some sort of change or another. Now, any of you guys feel there was anything drastically done different just because Paul Heyman wasn't in charge anymore? Do you think there was something he had set up to happen and we just didn't get it because they let him, or they didn't let him go. They made him a TV performer with Brock Lesnar, who we haven't seen since WrestleMania. Is there anything that in that show that maybe stands out as Heyman-esque that kind of got cut at the knees?
I don't know if particularly I felt like anything got cut at the knees. It definitely made me a little bit more skeptical of what potentially some results might be. I know one of the biggest things was the whole McIntyre-Lashley thing. I know that Heyman was big on McIntyre, and I also know there was rumors about Lashley walking out with the title. So I wasn't exactly sure which way that was going to flow. And then even to carry on to Monday night with the whole McIntyre R-Truth thing, where I thought maybe there was a chance that, you know, they might pull the plug and, you know, not have Drew look weak by dropping the title, but maybe R-Truth getting pinned to lose the title. So it was kind of interesting to really see. I was on the edge of my seat while I was working out, not knowing what actually was going to happen.
How about you? I think Backlash probably could have used maybe a Heyman surprise or two, because I don't know about you guys, but it was not must-see TV for me on Sunday night. It was I'll kind of catch up on what happened during my work day the following day.
Yeah, I didn't expect much from the pay-per-view. I don't think we got much from the majority of it, the undercard. Maybe Heyman wouldn't have chosen to do a double count out with Asuka and Nia Jax. I don't know.
Yeah,
there was a lot that I thought was just bad.
Yeah, only then to have Asuka win the next night.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, again, like going back to what we were talking about a week ago, where you're doing Bryan and Styles on Friday night, you've got a pay-per-view right there. Then now you're doing a women's rematch. I hate the rematches the night after pay-per-views or the night after WrestleMania or whatever the case is. Like, you really just prove time and time again, WWE, that you don't care about these pay-per-views.
True.
Well, they had to have Styles and Bryan on Friday because they had something called the greatest wrestling match ever taking place on Backlash.
Oh, yeah.
And I must have missed that.
And that is going to be the topic into itself. But I will say, yeah. I think they made a race to Heymanism on Monday night when they had Lashley call for a divorce with with Lana. because, yeah, that's just, you know, I mean, you know, that was something that I loved it when it was done, because it's like, oh, good, it's over. You know, and maybe we can get back to those guys being serious contenders. Where we go from there, I don't know. But, Danny?
Can somebody explain why, if Rusev and Lana were both with the company, they're both not there, or they're both gone, or Rusev's not the one that's still there. Like, what is Lana really adding to the product without Rusev there?
I was just going to say, too, and this will tell you everything you need to know. My wife does not follow wrestling anymore. When I told her what was going on, she goes, wait a minute, Lana's still there? I go, yeah. She goes, didn't they get rid of Rusev? I go, yeah. She goes, what the hell's up with that?
And that was to my point exactly in my group, in our group chat this week. You know, I mentioned, like, Lana's contract's got to be ending soon. And, you know, Danger corrected me and said that she just resigned the 5-year deal last year. But, like, what is she doing there? She adds nothing to the television product.
She's a very voluptuously gorgeous woman, you know. I mean, but you know, as Danny
said, and how many of those people have spots on WWE TV or wrestling products? These, if you're not going to be serving a purpose as an actual wrestler, as an active valet or manager, as a ring announcer or whatever the case is, a commentator, like, I just don't, like, what is she going to do for 5 years? There's no way she's going to be there 5 years.
Well, she was making a movie not too long ago.
What kind of movie?
No, she was like a scientist.
I'm just saying, she has a history.
Okay, I was going to say she was like a scientist or something, and Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah, okay.
Bruce Willis was in it. Listen, I've seen some stretching.
John McClane?
No, it wasn't John McClane. It wasn't Die Hard Another Day. But Danny, I almost caught an impression there of Hurricane Helms there for a second. Did you do a "What's up with that"?
Kind of, yeah.
That North Carolina rubbing off on him.
My God.
Yeah, so.
I do declare.
Now, I will say, you know, this could merge into the Monday Night Raw talk as well. And we got, but I do want to talk about Edge in that match, the greatest wrestling match ever. But let's talk, you know, let's talk about that now, and then we'll talk about Raw in another segment. But what do you think about that match? I mean, obviously, after watching it, obviously it was edited. There was way too many camera choppy shots. I was really getting tired of that during the match. And you can tell, and unfortunately, at the end of the match, Edge, they had to recut something at the end of the match, and Edge ended up tearing his tricep, and he will be out for a couple months. I think he was going to be out anyways after this match. That's kind of like what he does. He'll have a match, and they'll get a few months off. But I'm beginning to think that he might be feeling a little bit more human and a little bit more his age by, unfortunately, having a stupid injury like that. You know, and then so then the question is, you know, the 3-year deal he signed, how many appearances is he going to make? Maybe it'll be less than we expect. Is this going to affect, you know, what Edge is doing? I mean, it's, you know, nobody wants a tricep tear. And of course, we all knew about it before the match because it had been someone had posted about it online, and we were waiting for the moment in which it happened. I thought it was going to be when he got dropped across that top rope and he used his arm to, which is the same way Drew McIntyre tore his when he was down in NXT. So, what do you guys think about Edge and what's going on with him? I mean, is this him? Or, I mean, maybe he'll take a second look at what he really wants to do, or are we going to get another match with Randy Orton eventually, because they're 1-1 now?
I mean, to me, Cash, this is just another one of those ticks in the column of why WWE should have halted production, period, when this outbreak occurred, because here's an injury that would not have happened, theoretically, if WWE was doing stuff live. He got injured in the retapes.
Yeah, it was at the retape.
So it's very something that shouldn't have happened.
It was at the very end of the match, too. So it was something they saw at the end that they wanted him to redo. Yeah, it was something at the very end of the match that they wanted to redo. And it's like, and that's when it happened. So the match must have been completed at that point, and they went back and did it. But and now the second question, too, is what did you feel about the match? Was it the best match on that pay-per-view? You know, I mean, it may have been. I thought it was. I'm not really into them perfecting it with editing, but it did come off very well, and there was a lot of high and low spots. I did see that Bret Hart was on backstage the other night, and he said the only thing it was missing was the audience. And I think that's what we've been saying, too, for a couple weeks.
So my take on the match overall, the part where they were actually in the ring and performing and wrestling was fine. Was it the greatest? No. It was good. It was decent. I thought they delivered. Obviously, I don't think you can live up to that expectation. And I don't think going in, even calling it the greatest wrestling match ever, even if they didn't call it that, it wasn't going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. But there was a lot of weird, quirky things about it that some of the stuff has already been pointed out. Obviously, the different camera angles, it was kind of weird. The quick cut shots, the very long camera angles from like the top of the ring or from overhead, that was kind of weird. And then the added in crowd noise actually didn't bother me as much as some people, but it definitely felt forced. And then, obviously, the little crowd reaction that they did have felt super fake.
What do you guys think? Right. Mr. Artiste?
Can you still hear me? I'm having some issues with the teams here.
Yeah, I can. We can hear you fine, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It seems like everybody online and people who used to work in WWE and AEW people, everybody was praising that match like crazy, and I think overall, like, I don't want to take anything away from Orton or Edge. I mean, they're both great wrestlers, and I know they could put on a really good live match. Obviously, I was skeptical going into it that the whole aspect of doing that in a taped environment, not in front of a real crowd, wasn't going to be that great. I went back and I rewatched it, and I liked it a little bit better the second time, but I still, it's not the greatest match ever. And I don't know, like, I really hated certain aspects of it, like having a camera underneath those guys when they're locking up.
Yeah, there was a spot along the side of the ropes where they had a shot from underneath, and we just kind of mocked it when we saw it. It's like, what?
Yeah, they had a camera in the ring during a superplex, like little stuff like that that just makes you, like, it's a clear reminder that this is a heavily edited, taped match. Like, I can't get into it. That mixed with the crowd noise and all that stuff, I didn't care for it. And I know that it could have been a really good match if they had just gone out and done it live and not had all the cheesiness added into it. But I don't know. I did go back and rewatch it to give it a second chance. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. To me, it's not anywhere close to my list of favorite WWE matches of all time. But again, I don't want to take away from those two wrestlers because, I mean, there was a lot good to it in terms of the actual wrestling, in terms of, you know, kind of the old school, the slower pace, the different things. Like, there was a lot to like about it, but it just got ruined for me because of the production aspects.
If you want to make that match 50% better, go back in time and eliminate all this stupid buildup with calling it the greatest wrestling match ever. If they would have left it alone, eased back on the production a bit, I'd be a lot more positive about it than I am.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, you make sense. And I will say one thing. I don't think they had anything to do with why that match was named that way. We found out it was originally supposed to be on the Saudi Arabia show, and every one of those Saudi Arabia shows has the greatest whatever, the greatest this, the greatest that, and so this was kind of put on them. And so you talk to some of the superstars who talk about it and said, listen, I don't ever want that title on my match. Maybe after the match is done, but not before it, definitely. So
speaking of that, Cash, I just one of the funny things I did see come out of that this week is the fake article that said next Saudi show to feature the greatest, quote, greatest wrestling match ever, quote, ever.
I got to say one thing about the media aspect with the greatest wrestling match ever. What a great promo or whatever for the next so on years. Go on Google and type in greatest wrestling matches ever. What's going to be the first thing that pops up, possibly?
Oh, yeah.
A WWE Randy Orton versus Edge, Backlash 2020. Tell me how many more hits that's going to get.
Yeah, you're right, and it was that title was put on it before they ever made the match. So, hey, on that note, we got to take a break, okay, folks? We're going to take a break. We'll do some commercials. Please, enjoy our sponsors. Go to our sponsors, get some pizza, get some stuff, do these things, and then we'll be back on the flip side to talk more wrestling. In fact, I think we're going to talk a little bit about Christian Cage, and what he did on Monday night. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Build Dad's imagination with a gift.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Cashman here with the artiste, DC Dan Cole Furby. No danger this week. Danger's in the hot tub of love up in Niagara Falls. If you can, but he's on the American side. I don't know how good the hot tub's on the American side, but I know that the one on the Canadian side is pretty nice. So we are here talking pro wrestling, and we just spent the last first segment talking about Backlash. Now we are going to jump into a little bit of some of the results of Backlash, and we did mention Edge getting hurt. I'm guessing because Edge was hurt, we still needed to do a Randy Orton segment with somebody on Monday Night Raw. So we got Randy Orton challenging Christian, you know, telling him to stand up for his friend, Christian Cage. Christian, who, if you watch backstage, WWE backstage, Christian's on the show quite often. He does some great insight. Who can't forget the Edge and Christian podcast? That was a lot of fun, too. But what do you guys think about Christian, you know, supposedly? I mean, he really, honestly, I don't think because of concussion issues he can really come out of retirement. But it definitely teased it to the last second, thinking he was going to. You think that kind of wove the show together on Monday night well for those? What do you guys think?
I think a lot of people tuned in for it, but I don't know. I mean, was there a payoff to that? I mean, or was it just kind of a waste in the end? I guess maybe it can further the storyline if something was happening next. But if we're going to go a long time before we see Edge again, then what's the point right now of that?
I would agree. I'd also curious to the only thing that did intrigue me was, you know, I was a huge Evolution fan, so I'm all for a pairing of Randy Orton and Ric Flair, but again, like you said, you know, Edge is on the shelf. Don't really think Christian's coming back, so in the end, what is the point of that, and where does it get us?
Yeah, you know, and it's something that tied over, I'm thinking, because, you know, like I said, obviously that was handwritten for Edge to be there, you know, in the same spot. Ferbs, what you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, definitely along the lines of what you guys were saying, it does kind of leave some questions up in the air as far as how they're going to tie that into Edge, Christian. Maybe it develops. Obviously, there was a talk of a third Edge Orton match down the road. You know, I thought that might have come at SummerSlam. Obviously, that's not going to happen now with Edge's injury. But getting Christian in the mix, I thought it kind of built some story. But then, of course, there's no payoff now. To see where it goes with Flair, maybe Flair does pair with Orton going forward. Maybe we'll see him more on TV. But again, it kind of leaves some mystery as far as who's going to get involved with Orton. Now, me personally, I've gained a lot of respect for Orton over this past week, just with a lot of stuff with the social media and just other stuff that he was talking about. So it's kind of like, you know, he was getting a lot of backlash for a lot of his matches. People were saying, oh, he's boring in the ring. But if you really watch him, it's all about his storytelling, his facial expressions, the pace of his matches. So kind of paying homage with Ric Flair, going back to the Evolution days, his earlier days. We'll see what comes back. And there was a lot of things of Orton being called the Legend Killer again this past week. We obviously know that happened in the mid-2000s a lot. It'll be interesting to see where this goes from here.
Yeah, I will say that I like Christian a lot. Christian, being Edge, of course, Edge's buddy and everything, it only makes sense that they go to him, maybe. And now, and obviously they're going farther, but then adding Ric Flair to the mix, as well as the Big Show, because the Big Show is the one who said, you know what you got to do, Christian, backstage. And, I honestly did not feel Christian was going to actually do any wrestling, but... which he didn't, but I was excited that that he was, you know, get you know. It's a shame that a crowd couldn't see that, though. That's once again another thing where it's like that would have popped the crowd like crazy. If it all, you know, even if a lot of that took place backstage and then they came out, and so that, and that way,
you know, well, and I think along the lines of like what he was saying there too, like Furby's talking about like maybe there's going to be a third match, and like obviously I think that makes sense with. You know, with Orton winning and everything else, I think it made perfect sense if Edge was coming back to do something with Orton. They have so much history. Obviously, they can put together good matches. I don't know if it's... I think, obviously, like, Edge coming back, we know, is not going to be... I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming that it's not going to be a really long-term thing, and we're not going to get a ton of matches out of him necessarily. And we've now had two long matches between him and Orton, and whenever Edge comes back again, if he comes back again, I kind of don't want to revisit this. Like I kind of would really like to see if, you know, say Edge only has a couple more matches in him, if he does, I would really like to see him get in there with some people we haven't seen him mix it up with before, whatever, a little bit of variety. So I'm not saying that the injury is a good thing, but I just think that I don't know how much more Edge and Orton I really wanted after what we've already gotten between Mania and Backlash.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like the payoff was the segment with Christian, now segueing into Edge's injury. Now that I think more and more about it, I think it actually could be a good way to end it, you know?
Yeah, no, you make sense. And obviously there's a lot of guys in the locker room in WWE who are new to this business, or new since Edge at least was there, who would love to have matches with him. I've heard, you know, AJ Styles has come out and said he would love to go work Edge. There's a whole handful of guys in that locker room, and some people that could, you know, learn something from Edge.
The one guy that I think of, and it goes back to, I can't remember, I think it was 2014, maybe it was around winter of 2015, but Seth Rollins and Edge. I know that was one of the big things with John Cena kind of thrown in there as well, of telling Rollins not to curb stomp Edge on Monday Night Raw. So maybe you see Rollins and Edge get in the ring, you know, once Edge gets healthy. That, I think that would be a huge marquee matchup.
I agree with Edge. With Edge going after, you know, Styles at some point, I would agree. With Rollins, I would also love to see maybe an Edge Adam Cole dream match at some point, if we're lucky enough.
Yeah, that's a good question. And Adam Cole with his contract running out in August, you know, who knows where he's going? I'm sure he's going to resign. The question is will he be on NXT? You guys get a chance to catch him on NXT this past week. Doing some little bit of comedy bits, with Roderick Strong there, having fear of the trunks, but also
that doctor looked really familiar.
Yeah, you know he did. You know what too? I like is I kind of like a bad guy going after Cole. I think, you know what? To me, that's like the beginning of a face turn if I've ever seen one. You know, Cross going at, you know, Cross and his lady going, you know, the big hourglass is turning over. How much time you got, Adam Cole? I'm kind of excited because it seems like everybody's going at Adam Cole, and Adam Cole is doing nothing but standing up, you know, and showing what he can do. But I think that it would not surprise me. You got a comedy bit with Roderick Strong and those guys, and then you have Cole being gone at, sought after by a bad person. So, you know, could this be the face turn, you know, for the group?
Well, and talk about everything that happened on Wednesday night to set up the beginning of July between AEW and NXT. I mean, that four-way segment in the ring, with, first of all, going back to NXT, with Adam Cole, you know, Keith Lee dropping the hourglass before he goes out for his segment, and then Gargano comes to the ring, then Balor. I mean, that's going to be one heck of a triple threat for the North American title. And then, obviously, the winner of that gets Cole. So, and that's going to set up the war between AEW the week of Fighter Fest. So there's a huge development there. But I think what we get out of this is some sort of Karrion Kross probably not going after Cole right away, to be honest. I think it kind of switches over to Kross going after Keith Lee, with maybe potentially costing him the North American Championship. And the winner of that match obviously gets Cole. I could see probably a Baylor-Cole situation.
Yeah, you have to make some sense there. I will say that Keith Lee did insert himself into this in the backstage segment that turned into the in-ring segment. You know, and you know, we all thought that you know, we all thought different people were going to be involved in the title run for a while, and so far, not so much. But NXT, very good show this week. AEW, might as well talk about that a little bit. We got a match to start off that we got to see your friends there, Mr. Artiste, get busting the end of a match with the Young Bucks there.
Yeah, I mean, AEW this week was definitely very tag team heavy. We have three tag team matches and then some more tag teams coming out. And to me, their tag division right now is as strong as any tag division has been anywhere. But so I really like that. I mean, I hope I'm curious to see what they're setting up for Butcher and the Blade for Fighter Fest. Maybe it is Young Bucks for that. I'm really excited for a couple other things there. I mean, obviously, next week we get Brody Lee and Colt Cabana teaming up, which will be fun. And more than anything, I never thought that I would say that, you know, I don't know if you call it like a TV special Fighter Fest, not a pay-per-view, whatever, but live on TNT, we're going to get a Chris Jericho against Orange Cassidy match, which... If you had told me that 5, 10, 12 years ago, whatever, like, there's no chance. And so, like, that's such a dream match that I can't wait to watch that one in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, what about, I didn't realize Orange Cassidy had a second job as a cameraman.
He's pretty good at it, too.
Yeah, you know, but...
He definitely did better camera work than I've seen on some, like, ringside indie promotions and stuff, so... Or, and quite honestly, better than what you see from WWE when they're being...
I was just going to say, it's better than Monday Night
Raw. The aggressive zooms in and out and stuff. So, props to OC for that.
Yeah, I will say one thing. The camera was on the cameraman there for quite a long time, setting up that, you know, him coming out and going after Jericho. But, I love it. I think, you know, I mean, Jericho seems to be able to pick and choose who he wants to... who he wants to be wrestling right now. And I think sometimes the hot hand, I thought Cassidy was a hot hand, you know, maybe about a month. Once the Best Friends debuted and he was just kind of there, you know, I think that started the whole thing with just because the announcers would focus on Orange Cassidy, you know, while the action in the ring's going on. They go, what's Cassidy going to do? He's putting his hands in his pockets, you know.
Can we take a quick second to, despite the appearances he's had on the Pain Clinic, which have kind of left me with a 50-50 opinion of him, how can you not appreciate the greatness that is Chris Jericho? Like, seriously, like, think of how long he's been doing this, and it's still a situation where everything he touches turns to gold.
And he's been good at every... He's been good at every single thing he's done, and he's done so many different things. He's gold every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think that in the year 2020 would be like my favorite Jericho era. I figured by now it'd be like, okay, he's still around, whatever. But I mean, as somebody who in the ring, you know, I think we've all pretty much liked him since the 90s and stuff. But like right now, it's the stuff he's doing is amazing. And I, you know, I can't wait to see what he does with Orange Cassidy the same way as the match he had in Corpus Christi with Jungle Boy or Jungle Boy Jack Perry. That did so much for Jungle Boy, that 10-minute time limit match. I mean, Jungle Boy was in Jurassic Express that was really going nowhere those first couple months, and that skyrocketed them. Jungle Boy's a legit star. He's had some great matches with MJF, everything else. And I mean, I think it's great that they have Jericho and that he can keep choosing to do something like this. I'm sure if he wanted, he could be in a match with maybe somebody who's already more high profile. But Jericho talks on his podcast and everything about, like, this is what he wants to do. And I think he's doing a huge service with setting up this next generation of TV stars and everything.
And to talk about setting things up, sorry to interrupt, Cash, kind of going off of piggybacking off of Orange Cassidy as well. I mean, Orange Cassidy's been super hot ever since he debuted. His two buddies, the best friends, they're really starting to pick up steam. They've gotten hot. I think now that they've officially gotten to the contenders area, they put their number one contendership on the line against Les Sex Gods, and they came out on top. I think we're finally going to see a switching of the guard of the titles. I think we see the best friends take the titles at Fyter Fest, and we see, and out of this, we see an evolution of a character, Hangman Page. I think he ends up going full heel, and what the rumor, I mean, he says he's out of the Elite or whatever. I think he finally, you know, takes a step out of there and becomes, you know, that character that he's kind of been teasing.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. I was going to say, I agree with the, I think best friends should take the titles. I think that certainly could lead to the breakup of the team. I also would be kind of intrigued if we randomly were surprised with more of an Omega heel turn. The only thing I wonder about is Paige. If we go back to having crowds, I mean, granted, like you can say like there are or are not heels and faces in wrestling in this day and age. The fans, when we still had crowds in the arenas, the fans loved Hangman. I mean, the responses he was getting before the pandemic hit were as loud as anybody else. And so do you just want to see, like, are the fans going to stick with him if he tries to be a heel? I don't know. I would be interested to see what happens with that. But
you actually got me intrigued with the thought of Omega turning heel. I think that might actually be better for him. I was just afraid that they might be afraid to do it. Because you bring up a very huge point with Hangman getting a lot of the fan reaction already. Maybe you take a guy like Omega, you turn him, and then he gets even bigger. So I think you could
build up. I mean, they've already done so much to build up Hangman, and obviously, like, he was in the mix that match with Jericho, you know, a year ago and stuff. They've been kind of very slowly building him up, but he's not a main event singles guy yet, but he's close. And if you let that slowly build, to me, I mean, you've got, I don't necessarily want to say like an Austin in the making or whatever, but if you just like let this naturally progress, I think with what we saw from the crowd reactions before all of this, I think it could be huge. And he could be, you know, like somebody who was kind of to be honest, he was at one point kind of like the forgotten guy in the Bullet Club and stuff. And he could end up being the biggest star of them all. You know, a year from now, we got to wait and see what happens.
Guys, we got a break. Hold that thought. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man here with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. the Artiste from Rochester someplace, and Furby Hilton, and we're here talking the world of pro wrestling, and you know that. We just spent a good segment of talking about Monday night AEW and NXT going head-to-head and some of the cool things that were going on, but there's big news this past week. See, most of those shows were taped maybe last week, I think, so this week they were taping for next week's SmackDown, and I guess a trainee came in and tested positive for the COVID virus and pretty much shut down next Friday's taping for SmackDown. It kind of makes me wonder if you think about that, this is going to happen in every sport eventually. I mean, as much as we don't want it to be and people want sports to get going again, someone's going to come in and test positive and it's going to shut everything down. You have to wait 14 days before you can do anything and, blah, 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 stuff like that. What do you guys think about, the way it did happened? And I mean, is this the future for a while here in the way the United States is running?
It sounds like a whole extra show, a whole extra hour to go into those topics. Somebody else want to go first?
I mean, I'll go out and say it. I'm actually surprised that this is only the second known WWE positive test. I think that's actually pretty impressive. The one was, I think, late March, like right before Mania, and then now this. So it stinks because obviously now it's going to delay everything, and we've seen it, I guess, now in some of the other sports, especially now that college sports are starting to get back. We're seeing a lot more reports. I haven't followed up too much on what it's actually doing with their training and, getting ready for their seasons. But, out of this, now we see another guy who's opting out of going to the tapings, Kevin Owens. And they say that it's not going to affect him. And they've said that it hasn't affected Sami Zayn or Roman Reigns, but in a way it still has. So it'll be really interesting to see on the back burner, because Kevin Owens was involved in a huge segment with Apollo Crews, what this does for Apollo Crews going forward.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and the funny thing is it just stopped production for one day. They picked back up the next day after it's a pretty rigorous thing they have to go through to get in there. They get their temperature done. They've had to
Well, that's my question in all of this, and I don't want to speculate too much because I'm not in Winter Park, Florida. I don't know exactly what's going on, but there was a lot of reports out there that, first of all, they were saying they were testing everybody. Then, all they were doing was taking temperatures. They weren't doing the actual, nasal tests that, antibody tests or whatever. Like, AEW, we know, what they've gone through. You can listen to, Tony Schiavone explains the whole thing. A lot of guys have kind of gone through. They've got the different wristbands. And it doesn't seem to me like WWE is being as responsible as they could be with it. I don't want to say what they're doing or what they're not doing, but I don't think whatever they're doing is enough. And I mean, it's kind of a sign of the times too. When I was still living in Corpus Christi, there weren't that many cases, and now they're getting more new cases every day than they had in the entire county when I was living there, because some stuff was reopened or opened unsafely, or people are getting impatient or whatever the case is. So I know there's mixed opinions on all that stuff, but I don't think WWE is doing enough from what we saw. We saw the Street Profits out there dancing in the crowd with friends and family without masks. I don't know.
Yeah. If anybody honestly thinks that WWE was testing and not just kind of passively screening people, I have some beachfront property I'd like to sell you.
Yeah.
But again, it's something that's totally unnecessary because, let's face it, WWE, you're not doing the crowdless shows as well as AEW. And I'm sorry, I still hate that they have all the NXT trainees out there wearing all the freaking merchandise, acting like fans and doing stupid chants. It just does absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, it feels forced. And nonetheless, too, it's funny that they say that they were actively showing social distance. I mean, they were not 6 feet apart.
Right, you see them all huddled together, pounding on the plexiglass barriers.
Yep. And I will comment back on the testing part. I follow a lot of WWE wrestlers on Instagram. They showed some people getting the cotton swab test up their nose. So I don't know if they were doing it before, but they definitely did it the other day.
Well, I will tell you one thing. They when they were testing people, they a couple people had gone on social media and had posted pictures and stuff. And then the WWE came out with this edict saying, please don't do this. Don't show what you got, you're going through with this. And so basically, a lot of people like MVP had to delete his Instagram post that he had done. And you know, just a few of the guys, it's like, and I understand that, you know, it's like, it was kind of a big deal when all of a sudden, I think it was Tuesday when all of a sudden, or Wednesday was Tuesday, that they said, hey, the whole place shut down. And what it makes now is, I guess they're planning on doing the SmackDown earlier the day of the SmackDown show, which would be a week from Friday. So they already have, this Friday coming up, they already have, you know, a lot of stuff in the can already. But, you know, it's pretty scary, though. And down in Florida, they've had like what? They've had records every day for testing positive for COVID-19.
Yep.
Yes, ever since they reopened.
Sure have.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, you got to be careful down there. They can't go back into isolation, or maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer, but it's still pretty scary time. And if this was a major sport, I mean, what would happen if, you know, say you're in football or baseball or something, and all of a sudden half the team or four people on your team test positive and you have to shut down for 14 days. It's really, that's why I don't think we're going to see any organized sports for quite a while until they have a vaccine or something, at least.
And to just briefly go on top of that, for this segment, Dr. Fauci's been saying they're nervous about having baseball go into October. Well, what is that going to do for football? Like, most of their season is during the winter. Like, if they're expecting another outbreak in this scenario, like, no sports can do anything. So I just don't get it. We'll see.
The way things are going, we're probably not going to have baseball.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I mean, I don't even want 60 games anyways, because you don't get a good feel for what?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue between the players and the owners. But
yeah,
to end that, I guess if it wasn't for the players and the owners not coming to a disagreement or not coming to agreement, I think there probably would have been baseball already.
Side note, how secretly happy are you if you're part of the Houston Astros organization the way this season has played out?
Big time. That's what I was going to say, big time. But it's funny, as I mentioned, they're the biggest winner from this whole thing. But unfortunately, we have a hockey team in Buffalo that, you know, tells you you're safe.
Do we?
Well, sometimes.
Do we?
You're safe one day, and then two weeks later, they fire you and half your staff and your minor league coach and all that crazy.
Your minor league team that was doing great.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to now former Amherst head coach Chris Taylor, who has hung out at WWE house shows at the Blue Cross Arena. A little bit of a wrestling fan, great guy. It's been an interesting week. I don't know.
It's tough.
Not to go too off topic on that, but there's definitely some frustration there.
See, I'd rather talk about that than talk about the tag match on the pay-per-view from last Sunday. So, you know.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the ninjas?
No, the ninjas and, I don't need to. Do anyone
see? Hey, WWE, wait, way to bring back the stereotype with Akira Tozawa. Like, come on.
Yeah. You know what killed me? The one thing that killed me since then was when, when they went smashing through the ATM window and then it turned into a Stone Cold Steve Austin promo. I've seen like a couple memes out there where they've done, you know, I don't even want to talk about it, but, you know, we did want to talk about sports a little bit. Why don't we go to break on that? We've got one more segment. Got some news we haven't even touched yet. And I didn't even want to mention that tag match just because I know we all have opinions and we probably could do a whole hour on that. But you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Coming back with Lana's music. Maybe it's the last time we'll hear it. Maybe it won't be. Fingers crossed. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina, Furby from Hilton, and the Artiste from Rochester. We're here. We got one last segment. We're going to do some news. And why not? Let's talk about it, DC. Last week, SmackDown, we got to see Jeff Hardy have a urine test on TV. And for some reason, in the between the East and the West Coast,
Coast, they decided to edit out pretty much the point when Jeff Hardy said that line about it's better to be pissed off than pissed on, and then threw it on Sheamus. And it's like, and Danny, you were saying Fox is not too happy about that.
Yeah, Fox apparently none too pleased with that segment, as evidenced by the fact it was scrubbed from the replay on Hulu. It did not air when SmackDown aired on the West Coast. They're saying that that's not in line with the company's standards and practices. So, not too happy.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mean, everyone's mad. USA's mad when they fire Heyman. I think Fox was mad as well that Heyman got fired. Fired, but he's still working for him. But he's just going to be an on-air TV guy, which means until Brock Lesnar comes back, we're not going to see him. There's a lot of dissatisfaction going on right now.
But not only the terribleness, if that's even a thing I could say, with that whole segment.
You can say that
they just recycled it. They did the same thing with Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon, I think, in like 2005, 2006, line for line.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to
like
be.
The pacing was the same. The lines were the same. The situation was similar.
Yeah.
It's just lazy and stupid. And that's Vince McMahon's fingerprints all over that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of times only one person is happy about what we see on TV. And then when it... You know, so that's a bummer about that. You know, Vince McMahon, in fact, something about him that came out, he was so upset that people guessed it was Mustafa Ali that was on the SmackDown brand that was doing the secret videos and everything. The hacking, and he moved him to Raw because they've kind of pretty much dropped that, as far as I know. I haven't seen a hack, and maybe we'll find out. I guess. But you know, it's like he gets mad about things, and then, you know, people change brands. AJ Styles doesn't get along with Paul Heyman, so he goes to SmackDown, and Paul Heyman gets fired. You know, it's just some the weirdness of how they're swapping brands, and now they have one head over all the brands. So, you know, I'm sure Fox is not happy about that either. They don't want to share talent.
It just feels so weird to basically just cut it like that. I mean, there was a huge buildup. I mean, I would say a huge buildup, but it was a decent buildup week after week after week. These little vignettes, these little clips, these little shots of a hacker leading up to something, you know, it kind of teasing you towards something that could be a big play out on TV. And then everyone starts to figure it out who it might be. It was pretty obvious with the whole logo and the glowy light thing. Kind of looked like a blue Iron Man, but and then just to drop it like that because people are starting to figure it out, like
throw it on the scrap heap of unfulfilled angles, such as the anonymous GM and
or GTV. The hacker angle with Sammy Callahan when he was in NXT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Solomon Crow.
Yeah, it's funny. He did the same thing in Impact. He still does. He's still part of that. He's still kind of doing that in Impact Wrestling. If you guys get a chance to watch it all, Impact. We got to throw some news out there from this past week. Impact had a really nice tease, and we were briefly talking before the show. It'd be great if we talked about match of the week, and if we each picked a match of the week from a different company. And we may not do it this week, but we could start. I definitely found one this week I liked, and that was TNA. They had a TNA championship title between Hernandez and Moose. It was kind of like a throwback TNA match, but because Moose is walking around with a TNA championship, even though it means nothing. In the company, but he still claims he's a TNA champion. But at the end of his match on the show, all of a sudden EC3's music starts. You know, trouble, 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 trouble. And it's like, you know, as we get closer to their Slammiversary coming up, they're teasing a lot of different people showing up, but there's a whole handful of guys that are going to be coming off their 90-day real soon. Who knows where they're going to...
And they tease a lot of stuff about people coming out of their 90-day... No compete clause last week. I mean, Johnny Swinger was on the phone with somebody saying, you know, they were done. You know, they're teasing a lot of surprise people in tag matches this coming Tuesday on Impact. You know, just to give a shout out for maybe best match of the week that I saw, possibly the main event, Ace Austin, Eddie Edwards in a street fight. That was fantastic. You know, a lot of good things happening on Impact. You know, we're going to see some old faces, new places coming pretty soon. And to just go off EC3 real quick, I guess he also posted something in front of the Ring of Honor banner too on social media. So maybe he's teasing us all.
There's a few places.
I'll throw a match out there then, too. I'm going to go TNT Championship with Cody and the surprise of Absolute Ricky Starks, which is a great addition to the AEW roster. And I think they did a really good job of somehow keeping that under wraps for a taped show as well. And I know a lot of people were really excited about that. So I'm glad that was not the main event of the show. I don't want to see the TV belt be the main event every single week, but it was a good match and a great debut, and I'm glad he got signed.
Do you see Rose?
I was very excited about Ricky Starks because his ending with NWA was just so quick. He dropped the TV title to Zicky Dice right away, and then a couple weeks later it's like, all right, I'm no longer with NWA. And then he was just out there, and obviously with the whole pandemic. But I'm glad he caught on with AEW because he's going to be a very good asset for that company.
I'll say one thing about him. You know he's gotten some attention when Dominique Wilkins, who used to be a center, he's a Hall of Fame center basketball player, was tweeting about how he would like to manage Starks if he could come out and manage. And he was the human highlight reel back in for playing for the Atlanta Hawks back in the NBA, the early, you know, NBA when it was really good. Not that, you know, it's not good now, but he was a dominant player. And he's like, he was super excited when he saw Starks on TV this past week. And so, I mean, if he's getting the attention, and what I heard was that Tony Khan had signed him after just like one match. He saw him, and he's like, after that match with Cody, he was signed. So that may have been taped a week ago. But and Cody is still throwing out that open challenge, and there's a lot of local guys who want to take him up on it. I see people everywhere are posting about, hey, give me a shot. You know, Dewey, guy we had in the studio not too long ago, he wanted, back when we could be in the studio, he's been trying to get, when they come to Rochester, if you know, Cody's still doing that, to get him a chance. So hopefully Dewey gets some eyes on him, you know. But I love out to Cody. Cody's not taking, not everybody from the locker room. He's taking people who are outside the locker room, which I think is exciting, you know. And with all these free agents, that plays right into that too, you know. We could, you know, 1 week it could be EC3 coming out, you know, and taking a shot at it. Some news, because we only got a couple minutes left. We did on After the Bell, that's Corey Graves' podcast. He's having The Undertaker. So I think The Undertaker's going out doing a lot of press now. You know, now it makes me not feel as special when I got a chance to talk with him. No, I'm kidding. I love hearing, I'm waiting for his last ride comes down where I can just do it by on demand instead of have to wait for a week. Because, you know, that's the way Netflix world goes now, man. You get everything in one shot.
Well, the last one's on this Sunday, so you'll have all five coming this Sunday.
All right. I will say that Tori Wilson posted on her Instagram that her dog Chloe passed away. Do you remember Chloe? You're coming out with her dog.
I remember the puppies.
Oh, of course. Are you talking Tori Wilson? Oh, man. Of course.
I was talking about Chloe.
Yeah, I
bet. If they have a memorial service, I hope it's a bit classier than her father's funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Some other news that came out this week. We got to see R-Truth is going to be hosting a game show on the WWE Network. R-Truth's game show. It's premieres July 14th. I'm not really sure what the game show is. I haven't really seen what exactly he's doing. But what do you think about McIntyre and R-Truth? You think McIntyre seemed a little perturbed? He was actually showing kind of like a heelish, angry McIntyre when Truth kept sticking his foot in his mouth and putting his title on the line. So. I thought that was interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing McIntyre go heel during his run if he wants to. I mean, he probably won't. Everyone loves him. But, you know, any thoughts on that, guys?
I didn't mind it. I thought it was one of those things where if I'm Drew McIntyre and I got a guy like R-Truth who on TV is portrayed as a goofy character, throwing my WWE championship up on the line against Bobby Lashley, a guy who just beat me up the night before, I'd be a little perturbed too. But I liked how they finished it. He kind of gave the ode to R-Truth, you know, allowing him to finish the match, allow him to prove himself, and let it be that. I thought it was all right.
All right, guys, we got 1 minute to go. Is there anything we missed that we should have talked about this week that we haven't gotten to?
I don't think so.
No,
we got most of our gripes out.
Yeah, sorry. Well, it's
terrible. Didn't really touch on the hashtag speaking out movement, but if you check that out on Twitter, you can see a lot of other stuff in the wrestling world, which isn't great. So see how that progresses over the coming days.
Quickly, as we get out of here, I'll say that we got this week on AEW, we're going to get a Luchasaurus versus Wardlow in a lumberjack match. Sonny Kiss, Joey Janela versus Brody Lee, Colt Cabana. That's where we get finally the connection with those guys. Matt Hardy taking on Sammy Guevara, and Sammy Guevara gets to pick who he wants Matt Hardy to be, and Moxley will be in action. We got to get out of here. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Artis. Thank you, Furby. And Danger Boy will be back next week. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.